Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out.
I've been trying to figure out how to approach this show. I mean, for people who know what I'm about to say, this is kind of useless for you, and then it's also useless for the people who can't hear it. So I don't know why I'm prefacing this, but I tweeted out earlier because of where we stand with our internet service provider and their building, and hell, I can't even really blame them. They have a building that fluctuates in power, which affects our internet. That's not on them, so it's hard to blame them for that. There's a certain company we can all point to. Y'all know who they are. They're like Alperen Şengün. They're a point center. Or did I just reverse that? You guys can figure it out. They are the cause of a lot of issues, according to most people. And they are messing with what we can and can't do here. So we are 92.5. So the people who have been listening all morning have heard it and know that's where they can listen. And, of course, when something happens that changes that fact, we will let you know. We'll tweet it out. And once again, it's probably useless for everyone because you'll be able to hear that change. But this is where we are. But I was thinking to myself about how to do this show. Because, you know, in Hollywood or just movies in general, actors sometimes have to do something that's less creatively stimulating to keep the lights on. So they'll go do, hey, you want to do a couple scenes in a bad action movie because it pays well? And then they go off and do their A24 neon indie movie because that fulfills them creatively. I feel like today could be a show where it fulfills us creatively, Sean. I mean, normally the show would start with, hey, the Astros swept the Marlins stink, and the Astros keep pace with the Mariners, who are beating up on the Angels. And after they took the series from the Blue Jays, the Astros are having their own soft part of the schedule and taking advantage of it too. Normally that's how the show starts. For me, Sean, I mean, since we're speaking to probably if I'm being honest, maybe a fourth of our normal audience, if I'm, that might be being generous. Doing the Astros stuff is like, oh, you want to show up for a day and do a couple scenes in this action movie?
Yeah.
It allows me to do all the other stuff I want to do. That's what Astros baseball talk is
so
for me.
We don't have to be Andrew Garfield in Spider-Man. We can be Andrew Garfield in that movie with Florence Pugh.
That's right. Today can be the day where we do what we want. One for us.
One for us.
Normally, the first segment with Astros talk is one for them. It's one for them, but it keeps the lights on, so I get it while we do it. Just nuts and bolts of doing the show. Today, it could be all about what we want to do, from Quinn Ewers.
Arch Manning.
Quinn Ewers no longer being the favorite to win the Heisman, that going to a former Oklahoma quarterback we can talk about. That will upset you, although he's no longer at Oklahoma. Arch Manning having a ridiculously high rating in EA college football. The man hustled them out of money and had them make him one of the top-rated quarterbacks in the game, despite, you know, throwing less than 10 snaps, throwing less than 10 passes, whatever his stats were last year. We've got Berhalter out, but Klopp not in. These are things I would love to discuss. So I'm trying to figure out how to attack the day. I really would like to do one for us, Sean. But I feel like I do need to do one for them as well. At least part of the show should be for them.
Yeah,
as well.
we can go until like 15 for them.
Yeah.
And the rest it's for us.
It's for us. We can do our little small indie movie where we have the time of our lives, a small crew, a small set, but we're doing the things we want.
It's a passion project.
But yeah, exactly. And then we come back. And then we come back and we do,
yeah.
we do uh, We do Captain America Brave New World. I mentioned that because that trailer came out
today. Harrison Ford, and we're like, we need to pay for a new plane.
And speaking of that, Captain America Brave New World is one for us, to be honest with you. If we're being honest, talking about that would be one for me, despite the context of how he set it up. But yeah, the Astros go out there. They smack around the Marlins. The Marlins are so bad. I asked this question earlier. Maybe you have a better answer. I'm putting you on the spot. Can you think of a team who is as bad as the Marlins but have had the type of success they've had in the modern era? Two World Series wins, 97-2003. But other than that, it's been an absolute atrocity. I can't think of a team in the modern era who has done that, who has won but hasn't been, like, you know, motivated by the winning to keep doing it, to find a way to make that consistent. They're like, yeah, we won our couple. And we did it in the odd way that people take shots at us for, because we quote unquote bought our titles, and then we tear it all down, and we have bad ownership, bad management. You know, they did the thing that people who are floundering always do in sports. They hire a big name to run their organization. That big name being Derek Jeter. And Derek Jeter's like, wait a minute, it's much more fun hanging out with my model wife and doing other baseball things than actually running this baseball team. So I'm out. I can't think of another team like them that can tell the world we have two championships in the last 30 years, but also that's all we have. Everything else has been a clown show.
Yeah, especially the, like, because they're not just like a clown show in the way that, like, they're pushing to be great, and they're just falling short. It's like, no, they're actually just not even pushing to be great, other than the two times that they did. I guess there was a third time when they opened up the new ballpark.
They tried, and then
they kind of tried, and then traded everyone at the deadline.
And it ruined baseball in that city, and they've never been able to recover.
So they have tried another time. But the two hyper – because I was thinking about the same thing watching the game last night. The two hyper-concentrated – areas of success surrounded by suck for the rest.
A lot of it too, in different ways. They've hired, they fired new ownership. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. The only thing I can kind of think of, and it's not perfect, is the New York Giants with Eli Manning.
Okay.
Where,
but they even have had past success.
Yeah. That's where it falls apart, is that you go back 10 years from the first Super Bowl that Eli won, and you're like, oh, yeah, Bill Belichick is their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, they had one title. Hell, they had made a Super Bowl even with Kerry Collins. So they have iterations.
They made the 2000.
Yeah, so different iterations. They have tried and have succeeded. The Marlins have 97 and 2003. So 6 years, and in between that, it was garbage. And they have those runs, but
and in the 20 years since then,
it's been awful. Yeah. I was racking my brain to try to find another team that's like that. Maybe if I got into hockey, maybe I've been able to find one. But I can't think of it. So the Marlins are in town. The Astros took advantage. Jake Bloss was able to make it through a start without being immediately put on the IL.
Yeah.
So that's nice. That's good. And we have the news of Luis Garcia. He has been downgraded. He was downgraded from a bullpen session to playing catch. He could not, after struggling in his rehab start, they decided, you know what, we'd rather be safe than sorry. Joe Espada talked about it. He's been recovering from this injury, so let's not push anything. So downgraded to a catch. Once again, baseball's weird way of defining what's okay for an injured pitcher and what isn't. He can throw a baseball, but really leisurely, to another Astro, or maybe just the bullpen coach, whoever it might be, who's catching the baseball. So that's unfortunate. Luis Garcia is a guy who, I don't know if depended on would be the word, but there is some expectation that he would be back, and that seems a little further away than we thought when he made that rehab start. So the Astros win. The Mariners are in Anaheim playing the Angels and taking care of them. They beat the crap out of them yesterday, so the margin remains two. And I think everyone's in a very comfortable position talking about the Astros and just watching them. Okay, whatever it was that started this year, that seems long past. The injuries remain, but you're finding ways to win games, and you're taking apart the soft part of the schedule. And despite the fact that you may not catch, it's not a guarantee, but you likely won't catch the Mariners before the All-Star break, you're fine, though. you're fine. You're in a fine position. I don't know if the Astros are a good baseball team. I don't know if they're certainly not one of the best teams in the AL right now. They're playing like it. I will say that. Obviously, the overall record tells you when they're still fighting in a division that's not very good, they're fighting to catch first place. But as far as how they played over the last month or so, they've been really, really good. But if I stack them up against what we think are real title contenders, I don't know that they're that, because you can't depend on their pitching. But game to game, they have found ways. And, you know, when Hader's not giving up home runs, he's pretty good. Just so happens he gives up a lot of home runs. But a comprehensive win. And there's not much else to take from beating up on the Marlins. It's like you're playing. I know there are a lot of guys who've been – the problem for the Marlins are they're not even, like, good with – I mean, bad with good prospects playing. They're just bad and with guys floundering around in baseball that are on their last stop, it feels like.
That's what it is. Because for a lot of, you know, as we continue to talk about the Florida Marlins history, for a lot of it,
Miami,
there was...
Let's be respectful.
Well, for a lot of the history,
it was the Florida Marlins. Yes, you're right.
There's a Hanley Ramirez. There's a Miguel Cabrera. There's Dontrelle. Well, like, there's just guys on the team.
Josh Beckett.
Yeah, where you're like, I know this team sucks. We all know this team sucks. They're heading to 95 plus wins or losses. But at least there's this guy.
Yeah.
They don't have that
now,
guy.
Now, some of those guys are injured. I'm forgetting the pitcher's name. Who was really good last year? Is a young guy.
Perez.
They've had a couple who've been pretty good. Who, like a lot of baseball, have had arm injuries, so they're not available right now. So they would have a couple of those guys in their pitching with their pitching staff before, you know, they eventually traded them. Those guys just aren't healthy. But yeah, they're bad and older than you would hope if you're that bad. And the Astros took advantage of it yesterday, so we'll take it. They continue to play well, and they have the Rangers coming up here. And this is really a grudge match for Astro fans. I don't think the Astros care that much. Look, it's the Rangers. Yeah, they took us out in the playoffs last year. But for the most part, I don't even really sense that there's much back and forth between the two. Like, in the playoffs, sure, things get a little heated because it matters more. But it's just another series. And the Astros expect to take two out of three, if not take the series from the Rangers. But the fans... This Rangers series, they want to bury the Rangers even further, considering, you know, the Rangers won the World Series, went through the Astros, and a lot of talking came from Arlington about it, and now the Rangers are in their rightful place. Not a very good baseball team, but hey, when you're the champion, you get like, what, 5-6 years, maybe more, of, we don't care, we want a title. I say that, but then we talk about this Astros season. Now, they didn't win the title last year. They won it in 2022, and everyone was miserable from, like, March to really early to mid-June. Now things are squared away, and people feel better. So I feel like Ranger fans are like, you know what? We got our title. We can take a down year. I say, but then I was reminded. Astros fans weren't going to be okay with the down year. They wanted everyone blown out of here, at least early. So, like, maybe winning just makes you want to win more. I feel like I would be content if I was a Ranger fan. Hey, we're not supposed to win. We won. I'll take a season where we stink.
I mean, it's fitting that they're playing the Marlins to have this conversation.
Yeah.
I would ask Marlins fans, and I'll even be charitable and say, in 2004, Were you?
How could you be mad in 2004?
Were you happy after? Because, or maybe 1998? Like,
but they knew. I think the thing for the Marlins fans, the eight of them, for South Florida, people hate when people do that. That's why I threw it in there. Not that they can hear.
They filled up that stadium.
What?
Joe Robbie, whatever it was called at the time.
Probably pro player at the time. They knew this was a one and done type deal. Like, I won't give the Marlins organization credit for that, or the ownership group credit for that. But everyone knew around baseball, if they don't do it this year, they're going to get packed up. So they did take advantage of the 2 years where they did go all in.
Yeah, that wasn't the Rangers did make win now moves, but
it wasn't supposed to be
1 year
only win. Yeah. Only win this year, and then we're done for.
I mean, they still have like a couple good prospects too. So it is a different. It is a different situation.
It is, but it's comforting to know the Rangers are back in their rightful place.
third place?
Yes. I mean, I would hope for fourth, but the A's aren't going to allow that. Hey, this is us. This is ours. Well,
maybe the Halos have a run in them.
No.
Do the Angels have – I guess they're decent.
Well, they do have the one.
They have the one.
That might be another team. I mean
– But they were decent in the 2000s.
They didn't completely fall apart. And they've tried with bad offseason acquisitions. They've paid older guys, and then they had a superstar that at least two on the same team. But they got Ohtani, and he's been great. He was great for them, but didn't matter. And they went. Now Rendon falls into the kind of the Pujols category of guys who you shouldn't have given that money to in the years to, and it hasn't worked out. So maybe the Angels are not bad. They won that title in the early 2000s, and haven't reached the heights since. But they haven't made some playoff appearances. The Marlins have just been flat out stinky.
Yeah, no, they won the World Series in 2000 or in 2002, and then they followed up with 77 wins. Okay. But then 92, 95, 89, 94, 100, 97. So they're too good in the 2000s.
Yeah, the Marlins may be in a class of their own when it comes to the titles won and the lack of success and really misery surrounding them. And it's played out that they've disillusioned an entire fan base. The discussion earlier was about how can baseball work in South Florida. Maybe the fans just aren't into it. Now, they broke those fans. They built that stadium and did nothing to back up that investment, and they kind of been dead ever since there. And the Astros were like, welcome. Bring that dead franchise into town. We'll beat you three times.
Perfect.
We're coming off a series where we lost to the Twins. We'll take it. And the Astros fully did, remaining two games back. So we'll get more into the Astros a little bit later, but there's some other stuff to get to. I mentioned some of the stuff that's for us. We'll have Michael Carroll on at 11:30 to discuss the Captain America Brave New World trailer. I saw that. I mean, I liked the trailer. It reminded me of a spy thriller, but so did that other show that I've already forgotten the name for. That was terrible on Disney Plus with the scrolls. I forgot what
Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion. That was supposed to be type of spy
thriller. They did not follow through.
No, and that stunk. So it has the same vibes. This Captain America without Steve Rogers, and Harrison Ford mentions that in the trailer. If the vibe is the same as the trailer, we might have a chance at a good movie. Just hope it doesn't go the Secret Invasion route. So that'll be one for us. We'll talk about some other things college football related as well. As we have a new Heisman favorite, it's a guy not near and dear to our hearts, but he did used to play for that team in Oklahoma. So we'll get to that. It is the debut day of Reed Sheppard as well. He will get going tonight in Summer League action against the Lakers. So some Rocket stuff to get to. And something that kind of bubbled up while we weren't able to talk to you was Alperen Şengün and the Knicks' potential interest in him. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So according to Mark Berman of the New York Post, the Knicks still are in the market to improve their team. And one of the positions they want to improve is center. Isaiah Hartenstein is now... Thunder. He's now a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mitchell Robinson has several lower leg issues to deal with, so he is a guy who I don't know if the Knicks will be able to count on. So center is a spot they want to improve, and Şengün is one of the guys that they're interested in, according to this report. They're also interested in Jalen Duren from who used to play for the Memphis Tigers, but is now a Detroit Piston. So I was talking to Lance about this through text, and I got by a fake reporter. A fake account of a real reporter. But the story is actually real. Mark Berman. I did do the investigative things I needed to do to make sure this particular tweet from Mark Berman came from the actual Mark Berman. That's Mark Berman in New York.
So there's a different Mark
Berman.
There's
a different Mark Berman.
But this is a real report.
It's a real report from a different Mark Berman based out of New York.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm caught up.
Mark with a C.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, that's good. Yes. That makes it easier.
Mark with a C Berman. He works for the New York Post. The Knicks are interested in Şengün. I just don't know what the Knicks would offer the Rockets that would appeal to the Rockets. So you could be interested in Şengün all you want. We know the Rockets maybe. There is no indication that the Rockets are interested in trading Şengün, but some people believe they are trying to gauge his interest around the league. Now, your thought is, why would you do it? Şengün's obviously a very good player, really young, has star potential. Well, the Rockets have to make a decision about paying him. That's not likely to happen this offseason because how the financial impact would be, if they did it this offseason, it would severely hamper them next season because of the cap and how it all works, the timing of things. They'll have more cap space to sign someone, a big-time free agent, and then they can give the money to Şengün and then Green, if they do it in the right order, to keep those guys and then obviously bring in a big name if one becomes available. So there is some reasoning behind the Rockets not giving those two guys money this offseason. But gauging his interest makes some sense. I just don't think the Knicks would be a viable partner because who do the Knicks have to trade? They're not trading Brunson, who's eligible to sign an extension. Now, if he signs an extension today, it would be less than the one he could sign in the future. He may be doing it to give the Knicks more flexibility. It will be a major discount. We will see about that. But no to Brunson, no to Bridges. They just acquired him. OG Anunoby, they just gave money to. And so who else would be available? The Rockets, they're not going to be interested in Randall.
The other Villanova guys are out.
Yeah, you can't trade those guys away. You can't break them up. DiVincenzo's not going anywhere. Josh Hart's not going anywhere.
Ryan Archer-Dinakino is
eventually,
not going
eventually when they bring him over.
Amari Spellman's not going.
I'm sure there are others. What's Kyle Lowry doing? Oh, yeah, he's going back to Philly. Although he didn't play on those teams, he was on Villanova teams.
Scotty Reynolds.
Yeah, they have a few. So those guys aren't going anywhere.
It'd be Randall, right?
And why would the Rockets want Julius Randle? Well, Ime wants another veteran buckets. who can get buckets, tough buckets. They're not efficient buckets, but they're tough buckets.
Tough buckets.
Yeah. He wants a bucket getter, I guess.
Go get him a bucket.
You're going to trade Şengün for Randle and a couple picks? What's appealing about that?
Do the Knicks have a couple picks?
So I said only a couple because they gave up five for okay. Bridges. So I don't know how many they have left. I'm sure they might have a couple left. I have to do some investigating there. So while the Knicks may be interested, and that story's out there because they're the Knicks and they had a good season, although, you know, knocked out in the second round again. It's no different from the season before.
Yeah, but it was a better season.
If you say so.
You should have seen the city. The city was alive.
I remember all the conversations.
Did anyone talk about how much the city loved the Knicks, this Knicks team?
Yeah, that was a topic that went under the radar, right?
Yeah. No one talked about with the energy in Madison Square Garden. Where they lost to the Pacers.
Yeah, when no one talked about it.
They lost to Andrew Nimhard.
They reached the same spot they did last year. But I guess it felt much different than they went to go get. They gave up a star's ransom for, you know, a nice third guy on a good team in Mikal Bridges. But you got to complete the Villanova friend group chat that's now going to play for the Knicks. So, Randall, picks, and that. What?
Precious Achiuwa, maybe?
Ugh. I think he's a free agent, too.
Oh, Deuce McBride?
I guess.
You're interested in Deuce McBride?
Yeah, I guess. Man, he was a nice find for the Knicks. But it's that this conversation for the Knicks and the Rockets feels like it would begin and end with, can we have Jalen Brunson? No, okay, we're out.
Yeah.
Because none of the other guys are actually movable right now for the Knicks, unless they're giving – and Josh Hart's not enough.
Yeah, in general, it's tough for two teams that are both trying to win to make a trade with each other. Like, that on its face is just hard.
The Rockets would have to be completely out on Şengün, and we know that's not the case.
Yeah. So, I don't really...
Yeah, so if you're seeing this story that the Knicks are interested in Şengün, Just go through their roster and see what could possibly pry Şengün away from the Rockets.
And realize it's the other Mark Berman who's saying.
Yes. It's not the Mark Berman who's trashing the Rangers on a daily basis.
No.
It's not that one. It's the one who covers the Knicks, and it's Mark with a C. And despite the Knicks' interest, I don't see a pathway for them to acquire Şengün.
Yeah. It's just...
It would be more viable if the thing falls apart for the Knicks and they're like in like the middle of the year and some guys become tradable, but it's not viable now.
Yeah, and even for the Rockets, it's like if you're going to even if you were going to shop Alperen Şengün, which there's no evidence that they are, you'd be able to get more. Yeah,
the Knicks wouldn't be my trading partner. No. If I was interested,
you could probably just get Brandon Ingram right now
for Şengün. Yeah, you would.
You could just make that trade right now.
But then you got to pay Brandon Ingram the maxin. No one wants to do that. No one wants to do that.
Not a good trade, but it's better than Julius Randle.
Yeah. We've seen the Julius Randle thing. Look at that. He's not around, and the city loves the Knicks. City did forget that when he was around, they made the second round the year before, too.
I think he has, like, the most, like, inefficient... I think it's, like, he's the most inefficient, like... shooter in postseason history in the NBA.
Yeah.
Because he's averaging like 30, is like shooting 36% from the field in his postseason
that
career.
That man loves
it's like terrible.
And he loves a long two.
Loves it.
He loves.
Can't get enough.
Yeah. A great shot anytime you can get it. So that's out there. Doesn't feel like there's anything behind it other than the Knicks exploring something that's not going to come to fruition, at least not this summer.
Just trying to tear the Rockets apart. That's what they're doing.
They're trying to kill the vibes.
On the day where the next Rocket legend, Reed Sheppard, makes his summer league debut.
We talked about this last week. Reed Sheppard and his Rockets. I say his Rockets. Cam Whitmore. You know whose team it is. No, it's Reed Sheppard's team. It's not Cam Whitmore's team.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Reed Sheppard was last year's summer league MVP.
He was last year's summer league MVP, but if you were that poor of a player that in the subsequent season that you're back in summer league, maybe we don't talk about you being the summer league MVP.
He wasn't poor.
Tell it to the Rockets. Don't tell it to me, Sean. Tell it to the Rockets. I'm making that joke because you know other successful rookies. In fact, the rookie who made first team all rookie is going to play in the first two games. Now he was already in Vegas for the USA select team, but Jaime Jaquez is going to play in the first two games. He just happened to be in Vegas, wants to get some shots up.
That's heat culture. That's different.
It's more like, hey, Jaime, what have you done for your game to see if you can elevate your usage rate? So we're going to put the ball in your hands in summer league and see what you got. What's in your bag? And if you show it, well, he's only going to play the two games anyway, but I think it's more of showcasing what he might have done in the summer, although it's still very early in it, to see how he's progressed this game. And maybe that's the same thing for Cam Whitmore. They're just going to put the ball in his hands and see what he's got. Although Cam Whitmore's like, you did that in the regular season. Maybe you didn't put the ball in my hand. I took the ball and did what I wanted to.
check my old stuff out.
Look, people put together the highlights. I want to see a highlight package of Cam Whitmore's passes. How long would that last?
It's a Vine. they're going to bring back Vine
just for that. I like to sometimes I was watching some of his minutes during the season. I'm trying to figure out how many passes did he make in a 20-minute span.
Hilariously low.
It's very, very low. Very low. So Cam Whitmore's Rockets, as I've been corrected by Sean, they go tonight with Reed Sheppard and the rest against Bronny James and a lot of anonymous Lakers. Reed Sheppard, Bronny James. We'll see if that becomes a thing tonight. We got a couple other things to get to, but before I do that, let's talk about MyBookie. MyBookie is a place you should go to if you're one of those people who likes to bet on Summer League. You can do it. You can do it. And I'll give you some great information about the station when we come back. There's a new way to listen. Well, it's the old way, but it's new today because we've had some issues. So we'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll alert people as well. But back to MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag and use that promo code BET975 for your sign-up bonus. They are welcoming new customers, and they give you a chance to make your money go further. Just go there, check them out, and if you don't want to do the Summer League thing, maybe you have some insight on who's going to win the two big finals on Sunday, whether it be Copa or the Euros. You can bet on MyBookie there, too, and it's more than a live casino. Excuse me, it's more than a live sports betting. They have the live casino where you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. So if you like card games, If you like dealing with a live dealer, they have that for you too. So Bet 975 is the sign up bonus promo code. It's also what you use if you're an existing customer just to make your money go further. They want you there. They want you to win. MyBookie.ag. Remember, bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
If you have been with us on 92.5 and you're a regular 97.5 listener, you can go there now. We are back. The issues with our internet provider's building have been situated for now. Quiet part out loud because we were good to go yesterday too at one point, and then that through no fault of our own fell apart just because of the fluctuations in power around the city. But we are good to go now. So if you want to go back to 97.5, you can, or you are a regular person who listens on the stream or the app, those are available for you as well. And of course, ESPN Houston, YouTube, and Twitch are back and ready to go. So for the most part, we are good to go. There's one other thing we're working on, but the main things you use to listen are good to go. So if you stuck with us, we appreciate it. And now we provide you with our regularly scheduled programming going forward. So after I'm done, Gallant and George will be up next, and then the Killer Bees will follow them. So we ended the conversation with, at least last segment, with the Summer League. The Rockets will play in Summer League tonight. That starts off with them against the Lakers. I would probably call it one of the premier games. You have the top three. You have a top three pick in Reed Sheppard, and of course the attention that Bronny James will bring to the table as well. And of course, those two will probably match up against each other at least quite a bit, as long as they're both on the floor. They're of similar size. Bronny James is supposed to be a point of attack defender, and if they're going to put the ball in Reed Sheppard's hands, you might see that matchup quite a bit. We'll see what Reed Sheppard has. The shooting. In fact, the funny thing is, generally in summer league, guys don't shoot the ball that well, even if they're known as good shooters. There's just an adjustment period. So I'm not even all that interested in what he is as a shooter early on, because I just expect that to happen. There's clear evidence that he's a great shooter. So if he struggles early on to shoot the basketball, that's not going to concern me. What he is as a on-ball defender, people expect that to be a strength of his game, despite his lack of size. I want to see that. If he's, I don't know if he'll be targeted in the summer league. There'll just be a lot of guys who want to get their own, so he may be the guy who's covering them. And also, what he does on ball as an offensive player, as a playmaker. Maybe he's not a guy who will shoot the ball well early, but is he going to get to a spot? Is he going to get in the lane? Or is he going to have a little bit of an issue because maybe he's better off the ball, and maybe the use of screens is how he's going to get open? So that's what I'm going to be focusing on as Reed Sheppard gets his start in the NBA. And of course, all the caveats you throw in there. Don't take anything too seriously. It's summer league. You just hope he looks the part. Even if the shooting isn't there for him, don't look outmatched. And I don't really expect him to. A lot of people think he was a best prospect in the draft. Certainly you hope that plays out. But I reach out for tonight against Bronny James and the rest of the Lakers. Some things we didn't get to, mostly because we couldn't talk to you, and now we can. Since last we spoke, were we on the air? We were on there on a Wednesday, and Berhalter was fired on Tuesday, right?
What are you asking me, man? I don't know.
That's why I'm asking you. I don't know the timeline. I can't remember anything.
I don't know anything that's happened this week. I don't know anything.
Fair enough.
I don't know which day anything happened.
But I don't know either. That's why I'm looking for help.
I knew I lost power, and so did most of Houston on Monday. Yes. That's all I know. That's all I got.
That's really the only irrefutable fact.
Today's Friday.
You do know that. Yes, you're a day away. This is your final day before you go on vacation.
No, but I...
Oh, yeah, you're working Monday. You're right, because the game doesn't download to later that afternoon.
God, I hope I have power. God. I was joking about that, like, earlier this week. Again,
and
whatever.
And now it's Friday.
And I still don't have power.
The game I'm talking about is EA College Football 25, which is something that's been a focal point on this show. And remember, we had a call from Pena. He was trying to figure out. Now, his apparently he's going to get the game the day of. Maybe he's not doing the early release. So hopefully, with more lead time, he'll be able to get his power. The game shows up, and we'll get to the Berhalter thing. Now I'm distracted. The game shows up on the console to download on Sunday. That's when you can download it. No, tomorrow. It'll start to download on, I don't know what part of tomorrow, but you'll be able to download it tomorrow. You won't be able to play it till Monday. So, Sean, you're without power at your place?
Yes.
Are you still staying with someone who has power?
Yes.
Will you go home today, grab your console, just so you have a place to download the game?
I mean, it can download when I get power, if I get power before Monday.
This is what I'm saying. So do you?
I'm saying on Sunday, if I still don't have power,
you're going to get your console.
I'm leaving there with something.
Yeah. All right. I am fortunate enough to have had power for the last 2 days, so I have less worries. But sure, it's a big deal for us. Nice. It's been a big deal for the show. And I mentioned this earlier. We might as well get to it because, like, Berhalter's fired. I mean, it's not that he can't come back because we've seen that happen. But that's a story that's happened.
He's fine.
Yeah, but there is some more news regarding that. But he, in particular, is gone.
At this point, like, something that happens on a Tuesday, if we're talking about it on a Friday, that's just how this week has been.
Yeah.
And he's fired. He's gone.
It can wait. I could talk about it. Nothing's going to change between now and maybe 11:15 whenever I get to it. So, obviously, I have my power back. I'm going to hopefully it remains the case. Hopefully you guys who are without power get your power back as soon as possible. That's the hope that I have for everyone. So
thank you.
The game, yes, Sean in particular, certainly because we have a certain thing we're looking forward to. Game downloads tomorrow for those with power. Game is available to play at 3 p.m. our time on Monday. Sean won't be with us. He's not dying, but he won't be on the show Friday. Starting Tuesday through Friday, he won't be around because he's got stuff to do, mainly playing a video game. And I would normally think, what the hell? He's leaving the show. But then I remember I was going to do that too until I remembered that I do have those two clowns from 7 to 10 to contend with, and I could not very well not be here for a week. And my reasoning was, I'm playing a video game. I would lose every argument going forward. So I have to save myself from that.
It's also July 16th to 20th.
Yeah, like, also, it's All-Star Week. All-Star Week. There's nothing to talk about, so I could go do that. Yeah, Sean's picking
up. I'm sorry.
The game dropped at the perfect time for him. There's nothing to do other than be around, and it's PTO anyway, so why show up if you don't need to? Whatever. It's his vacation time. Vacation time. He can do what he wants with it. I also realized, you know what? Your day kind of ends like at 12:30. You have, if you decide to stay up till 11, you got how many hours of gameplay? What are you doing? Just go to work. Just go to work. So I'm gonna be here next week, but my mind will be on different things.
Yeah, I don't know what my days will look like. I haven't scheduled it out. Haven't thought about it really. Other things have been on my mind this week. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to play for 17 hours a night or something, or 17 hours a day. I don't know. I cannot answer that at this time. But I just wanted to give myself the option by taking the week off.
And it's completely understood. No judgments from me. The only judgment or emotion I'll have will be jealousy. Because why can't I wake up at 10 a.m. and just start playing all day? And I could. But I made a business decision to show up to work. So that will be the focus of Sean next week. And really, let's be honest, it'll be the focus for me as well. If you want to call in, we haven't been able to say that in a while, to the 975 people, 713-780-3776. We have been told, and evidence suggests, that almost everything is back to where it was before Beryl rolled through. There is one particular HD2 station we're still having some issues with, but the traditional listening experience is back. So you can go to ESPN975.com and listen on the stream. You can listen to us on the app. You can go to YouTube, and type in ESPN Houston and find us there. And Twitch, you can do the same thing. So if you're able, those are your ways to listen. And we thank you for sticking with us as, at least for some of you, you're dealing with the same thing our internet provider is dealing with. Just a lack of power. I can't believe in some parts it's been off and on. It would come back for some people, then come off, then go off, just because of, I guess, structural issues for the city, and that's what our internet providers had to deal with as well. So they're not alone there. They seem to be okay right now. We'll see what it is going forward, but we're happy to be back. We'll get to the USMNT and not the Berhalter firing, because that's old news. But they did make an approach to an accomplished manager, and he was like, you know what? I'm all right. I'd rather have some time off. I'm like Sean Mapes. I'd rather have the summer off. So we'll talk about that and what could possibly be at hand as they try to replace Greg with 3 G's and get ready for the 2026 World Cup. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. And that is for everyone who can now hear us. If you are having issues just because you're in a different part of the city and you couldn't hear us on 92.5, as that was the only way to for most of the morning, you can now switch over, if you haven't already, to 97.5. And the stream and YouTube and Twitch are back, and so is the app. So we are good to go in that regard. So that's good. That's good. Very, very good. So earlier this week, we don't remember the day because it's been a tough week all around. Days are running together. But Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, U.S. soccer manager, is gone. It was something that was delayed far longer than a lot of fans wanted. The campaigns continued. There are some talk of, well, the U.S. Federation is waiting for the anger to die down, and maybe they can just slip in that Berhalter is going to stay. But they made that announcement that a decision was going to be made, and everyone thought, well, that just means he's out. But people are a little worried because no one can trust the U.S. Soccer Federation. But they made the move. Berhalter's out, and they've already approached a big-name manager to come over and take this job, and he immediately said no. Jurgen Klopp, the former manager of Liverpool, who was of Borussia Dortmund, but went over to Liverpool and changed them from a team. I'm trying to find a comparison for Liverpool in American sports before Klopp got there. They had success in their past. But they hadn't won the Premier League. Was it ever since it became the Premier League? Now they had won the top division of English soccer, but since it became the actual Premier League, I don't think Liverpool had ever won it.
Yeah, it was like 20-something years.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of a comparison. That one I've got to pull up. Before Klopp got there, they're probably like the Dolphins. It's like a team with a giant name who had success in the past, just could never win anything of any consequence since in the last 30 years or so.
Is he the Jim Harbaugh of soccer? With Michigan?
Wherever he goes. Yeah, wherever he goes.
Or just especially with Michigan, where if you think it had been 30 years since they won.
Yeah, if you think about it, if you're trying to make the sport I care a lot about, college football, he would probably be a Jim Harbaugh type. Now he won a lot there. We know Jim Harbaugh didn't win the ultimate thing till late, but I guess that's not a bad comparison. I don't know if Klopp's as weird as Harbaugh. I don't listen to his interviews very much. But yeah, let's use that as an example. He's a winner wherever he's been. And you know, if the Chargers are US, the Chargers could be USMNT. I would say
that works.
That works. That certainly works. So we're looking for our Jim Harbaugh, and the Jim Harbaugh on the table said no. Maybe, and much like Jim Harbaugh, it took a while before he got out of Michigan. Klopp is just less than a couple months removed from being the Liverpool head man. He said, you know what, I want to be away from soccer for a little bit. And that has led the U.S. Federation, at least reporters, to figure out who could be on the list. I don't find this list from USA Today all that comforting, because at the top of the list is former U.S. international Steve Cherundolo. He is the current manager of LAFC, I believe, the second LA team in the MLS, and I'm sure he's fine. I just don't want another tried and true U.S. soccer guy running the team, because it feels like it'll just, he may be better at his job. That might be all that matters, that he's better than Berhalter at actually managing the team, but I don't want a guy they feel like they can control, and he doesn't have enough power to tell them no. I would like a guy they feel they have to convince to take the job, not a guy who's jumping out there at the opportunity. Like the only thing he would want to do is coach U.S. soccer. I need a guy that they actually have to woo, wine and dine, and convince, not a guy that they need to take to a Burger King and he'll take the job. I need that five-star treatment type of guy before I'm going to get excited. Cherundolo will probably be fine. I'm not looking for fine. I'm looking for a galvanizer that everyone's going to be, who cares about U.S. soccer, who's going to care about and go, we want that guy in charge. He's going to bring new ideas in a short amount of time and make sure this team has as deep of a run as possible. I don't know if Cherundolo's that guy. Maybe if you had hired him right after the World Cup, if he was one of those guys who was right for the job at the time, maybe we would be in a better position. But we're not. We're in a position where we need to play well and advance. I don't care about some long-term project where he's changing the entire structure of U.S. soccer, which I question whether they would allow anyway. I need a guy who can manage the top flight team and get us to win games and get us through knockout round games. Is Steve Cherundolo that guy? I have my doubts. But he is the top of the list. He's had success. He won an MLS Cup with LAFC. Maybe it's my MLS bias. I don't want that to be your top accomplishment if you're running the U.S. national team when we're trying to do well in the World Cup.
You want something else.
Yeah, I need bit more.
It's okay being on the resume.
Yeah.
Just, it can't lead the resume.
No, it can't be. And, you know, he has been around for a while. He coached for the German under-15 team and the German under-17 team. He was an assistant in the Bundesliga as well. So he isn't strictly an American MLS coach who hasn't been able to reach out and do other things. I just think there's too little time to have a guy who doesn't have real giant experience. As I said, hire that man if he was, you know, had a resume that suggested it in 2019 or 2018. Or 2022, excuse me. I forgot that World Cup. There was a World Cup between the one we didn't make and it was a 2022 one. Hire him then after that one. I'd be good. The other guy's Jim Curtin, who is an in-house option. He's another U.S.-based coach. He is the manager of the Philadelphia Union. Okay. Real inspiring. Cool. And there's no... And really, it's no fault of their own. It's really because if the Federation is handpicking them and it's an American-based coach, I'm like, nah, I'm out. I'm out. Really?
You're not interested in the San Jose Earthquakes coach?
No, I'm not. I need more.
Sporting KC?
What did Kobe say? More. I need more. I don't want any of that. I don't want
Chicago
it.
Chicago Fire?
Name all the MLS teams you want. I want none of it.
I can keep going.
How many do you think you can get to before you run out?
I can get to a lot of them. Orlando
FC. Inter Miami. That's actually an international coach. But I mean,
I don't think they're getting him.
No, I don't think so.
Houston Dynamo, obviously. FC Dallas, our bitter rivals.
San Jose Earthquakes. Who we used to be before we moved, made the move.
Hey, that's the old us.
Yes, the new us wins less than the old us did. It's true.
They got a couple.
Yeah. Do we even remember them? So Jim Curtin's the other, and there's one more who is the current manager of the French women's national team. Hervé Renard. He is... Irv? It's H-E-R-V-E. I don't think that's how you say it, though.
But I'll say it, Irv. If he gets the job, I'll learn how
You'll learn how to
name.
Say it?
Yeah. He also, if he gets out of the group stage, I'll learn how to... If he gets the job, gets out of the group in World Cup, I'll learn his name.
He can't even learn... You can't even learn the name when he's named the manager.
Sorry, if Irv.
I feel like it's Hervé. Hervé. But he also coached or managed Ivory Coast to an AFCON title, which is their continental tournament, their version of Copa America. So he has international experience. In both genders, I would take him. He's a pretty good manager, even if I exclude some of my Ivory Coast bias, because I root for Nigeria when it comes to AFCON. If you didn't know, I do have an Ivory Coast bias.
I didn't know. Thank you for disclosing.
Yes,
it.
Didier Drogba aside, I do have an Ivory Coast bias because I root for another African country. So
Irv, No Portland Timbers on his resume. No Seattle Sounders on his resume.
No, the man coaches international football. He coaches international national teams.
Not even an internship, maybe, with Red Bull?
No, not from what I can tell. He may have had a couple Red Bulls, but I don't think he's coached for the New York Red Bull.
Okay.
Now, he was a guy who was approached by the Ivory Coast just a couple months ago, actually, and he said no. They tried to bring him back for AFCON, but you know, he was like, no, I'm okay. I'm coaching the women here, so it might be tough. And the French Federation was like, no, you can't talk to our coach. He's coaching the women's team. What are you doing? You can't take him away. So there may need to be a request and permission granted. So we'll see. So those are the top three from the USA Today. How do I put this the least respectfully way I can? The least respectful way I can. Keep the MLS coaches away from my national team, at least right now. You want to hire them right after the World Cup, I'm cool, but not now. So that will go on. We just know the one guy they did approach rejected them, and apparently Steve Cherundolo might be the favorite because, of course, he would be. Just hire another USA guy. Cool. I don't have high hopes, to be honest with you.
No. I mean, Klopp always felt like a pipe dream.
It did.
And just like there's so many parallels with college football with this, where you're like, fire him and hire that guy.
Yeah, and the guy's like, wait a minute.
No.
Who said I wanted that job? I don't want that job.
Yeah, my wife was looking for houses in Austin. Nick Saban isn't moving.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I just like the city.
It's a real estate thing more than anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, and now it's like, oh, well, we can see if this guy says yes. we can always go back to the old favorite.
Yeah, the path of least resistance. Well, how are we going to convince the former U.S. player who's coaching in the MLS, how could we possibly convince him to take this job?
Yeah.
You mean the guy knocking down your door to take the job?
It's like hiring alumni.
Yeah. We're out here hiring the defensive coordinator from the guy we just fired, if we're making the college football parallels. Oh, you're hiring the guy from the failed staff. Cool. That's a good idea. Although Trundle is separate from Berhalter. I just don't like the optics. It's like, we tried with Klopp. We had a phone call. He said no. Let's go get this guy who won't take much effort to convince. Man, oh, man. We better – well, all we can hope for is an easy group, which doesn't guarantee anything, as we just saw. We'll get more into other things that don't involve U.S. soccer, because that can get depressing. We've got the Astros to get back to. They swept the Marlins. We talked about that earlier. If you weren't around because you only listen on 97.5 or the stream or YouTube, we talked about that. We'll give you an update on the health of their pitching staff. Not great, but I'll get into more specifics. And there are some things regarding our favorite sport, college football, to talk about as well. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.